Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody, well, especially the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors. I think our number is about twice. It's a little over twice in attendance today than what we had last week. Granted, we had a number of our visitors out of town last week and visiting and so forth, but it's nice to have you. We'd like to extend a very special welcome to you, especially our out-of-town visitors, and I hope that you can go back to your home congregations with the message that the church is sound and alive and faithful in Las Vegas, Nevada. Those of you that live in town, the invitation is to come back and hope that you'll come back and worship with us and study with us. We had quite a few in Bible class this morning. We'd like to welcome everybody back to Bible class. And we also have a Wednesday night Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. So we'd like to welcome you to that. We are, speaking of Wednesday night, we had been studying the Gospel of John. And a few weeks ago, we covered this verse in class, and it really jumped out at me. And I would like for us to this morning to focus on, we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures. If you grabbed a handout from the foyer, you'll notice that there's quite a few different scriptures we'll be looking at. But our main base is going to be here in John 5:19. It says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner.'"
Amen.
The overall context of this passage, Jesus is confirming His authority, that he is from God, that He has been sent from God, that He and the Father are one. But what I would like to focus on is the second part. You know, Jesus said, you know, that basically I can't do anything by myself. The power is from God. And He goes on to say, but what He sees the Father do, that's where He's taken the cue from. He's not doing anything in and of His own ideas. He's patterning Himself what He has seen and is being told from God. And it goes on to say, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. And that's what I want us to focus on. I'll tell you, if we as Christians take this upon ourselves, how much more pleasing we would be to God.
Amen.
That if we do whatever we see being done, and we do it in like manner. And it's a matter of attitude. That's what it boils down to. It's a matter of attitude. Not ability, not capability, but attitude. There's no room as a Christian. No room as a Christian for the conversations, well, in my opinion, or I think, or I feel. Who cares? When it comes down to God's Word, who cares what you feel? Where does that even rank in the standards? We're going to go by I think, I feel, in my opinion. I want, we do some, maybe because I want to do it. Where's there room in God's Word for I want? And then we see not only the kind of the selfishness of those earlier, because I want to do what I want to do, but the almost aggressiveness of the attitude that many people have when it comes to God's Word. You're not the boss of me. I'm not telling you. I've seen brothers and sisters for decades. It's not me. I'm showing you Scripture. You're not the boss of me. He's telling you. Take it up with God. I'm just reading the words. It's a matter. Those principles, I'm going to see if I can go back. These things that we just looked at, it's a matter of attitude. Not knowledge. Not smarts. Not anything. Matter of attitude. In Luke 22, we see this attitude in Jesus. We see that attitude the night before his trial and crucifixion, when he's in the garden. Everything in time has been coming together and it's peaking. My time is at hand. How many times have we seen in the Gospels something would happen and Jesus say, my time's, it's not ready. When he started his ministry, John the Baptist was going before him. The kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. It's close. It's coming. Jesus preached, now it's here. It's the God's plan from the beginning of creation, that Jesus would have to die for the forgiveness of man's sins. It's here. And we see the attitude of Jesus. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. God, if you can think of another way for this to happen without me going, having to go through what I know was getting ready to happen. If you can think of any other thing, I'm open for it. But it's not about me. He goes on to say, nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but yours be done. That's the whole crux of the matter. Jesus was willing to go through with God's will. I'm not looking forward to the beating I'm getting ready to receive. I am not looking forward to the nails being driven in me. I am not looking forward to an agonizing, cruel form of death on the cross. I'm not looking forward to it. But for your will to be done, let's do it. It's a matter of attitude. The verse in, or part of the verse, the phrase, whatever he does, is there in verse 19. Whether it makes sense or not. How many things do we as Christians, if we looked at it from a making sense point of view, your will be done, and I will do whatever he does, whatever it says, regardless whether it makes sense, regardless if it seems foolish. Naaman had that, you know, wouldn't the abandon the Pharfar River, you know, Pharfar River be more sensible than the Jordan? Wouldn't that be more sensible? How does baptism just getting in water, getting in a jacuzzi, that saves you? Well, that's not it. Even if it's outdated, we will do whatever is commanded us. Even if it's outdated. Oh, we need some. We need to keep the church fresh and up, you know, upbeat. We need to change with the times. The church is the church for the last 2,000 years. We don't need to change with the times, and I hope we never do. Amen. The majority. We sometimes, and I'm big on this. I've delivered sermons on this. We sometimes, and this is what I've observed. I may be wrong. Sometimes, as an American Christian, we might confuse being an American with being a Christian. As an American, I've got rights. As an American, don't tread on me. As an American, we're all about rights and freedoms and democracy and our voice our voice matters for nothing as a Christian. Nothing. The decisions have already been made for our lives. That's the Bible. If it says it, even if it seems from a man's point of view foolish, even if it doesn't make sense fully, our decision is made. Even if the majority disagrees with something, you know, we don't vote on God's word. Let's do this. No, God's gets more vote than we do. Even if it's inconvenient. Not everything in God's word is convenient to do. Separates the sheep from goats sometimes. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, and he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age?" Sometimes the things written to us, people of the world think, that's foolish. That's so outdated. It doesn't make sense, so I'm not going to do it. We have to. Goes on to say, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. That's what we need to remember. That let's rest on the infallible decisions of God. Not left up to our own devices. In John 14, 15, Jesus told his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Period. Not if it makes sense. Not if it's convenient for you to do. If you love me. If you love me. And I like to think we all profess that we love Jesus. If we don't love Jesus, then go do some, you know, get to the mall where there's not the crowds today, maybe. Say, you know, beat people to a restaurant. But we're here. We love Jesus. We love what he did for us. We love his attitude. We love his teachings. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how you demonstrate you love him. Not by lip service, by keeping his commandments, by obedience. And then it goes on to say, not whatever he does, I will do in like manner. In like manner. Not my way. Well, I'll do what God wants, but I'm going to do it with my own little twist to it. In like manner. Not I'll do the right thing with the wrong attitude. Ever known people do that? Do everything exactly that is said in the Bible, just about doing it with the wrong attitude. Oh, I'll stick by that because the Bible says it. But I'll do it with hatred in my heart for my brothers. I'll do it with the wrong attitude, etc., etc. Or, kind of the flip side of the coin, doing the wrong thing with the right attitude. Well, God will make provision. I'm doing it all wrong, but oh, I love God. Oh, I love Jesus. The world's full of that. There's a lot of people this very moment that are doing something that they think, because they want to do it that way, that it's pleasing to God, and it's not. And then there's the attitudes. What does it matter? We're all going to the same place. We're just getting there in different ways. That's a very dangerous attitude. What does it matter? It does matter. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and there's going to be a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have that, you know, oh, Lord. Lord, Lord, I'm one of yours. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those of you who live that way. Those of you that not only do it once in a while, but practice it. Depart from me. I never knew you. What a shock some of those are going to get that day. But it doesn't matter. John 13, 15, this passage is talking about how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. The principle is there for anything. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I don't care if it's washing the feet of the disciples. We should follow that pattern. Whether it's the humility that Jesus, the Son of God, displayed. Whether it's the attitude of seeking God's will. Whether it's being obedient to the Father. The love that he displayed. That pattern of, I've given you an example. Yeah, he's given us an example of the washing of the feet. But everything else in his life was an example also. And of course, the death. The humbling yourself to the point of even death on a cross. In 1 Corinthians 11, we use this an awful lot when we remember the Lord's Supper. But Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." That attitude of doing it whatever he does and in like manner. We're keeping the Lord's Supper 2,000 years later with the same attitude. "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you." Passing it on. Not with my twist. Not with, "Oh, I want to do it this way." Well, we're keeping the Lord's Supper, but we're going to do it this way different. None of that at all. Philippians 4:9, Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." These do. Not just that you saw them and heard them. Do them. Amen. And the peace of God will be with you. And he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Whatever he does, in like manner. This has been going on ever since the time of the first century. Somebody has taught us the same things. Whatever he does, in like manner. But it doesn't matter. I wonder if Nadab and Abihu could come back right now and tell us if it matters or not. How to do things. The attitude of which to do it. Whatever. In Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron," the high priest, the sons of Aaron. They can't go with the idea, "Well, I didn't know." The sons of Aaron each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. We don't know exactly. There is some indication a little bit later in the passage of why the Lord might have been angry, but the bottom line, whatever it is, it wasn't which the Lord had commanded. It might have been their attitude. It might have been the offering itself. It might have been how they did it. The bottom line is, we have to do it exactly. He goes on to say, they're offering, they're doing the offering. But it doesn't matter. I'm doing what you said. We're offering the sacrifice. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. What does it matter, God? Got it close? We always need to do from what we've learned in this the passage, John 5:19. Whatever he does. If God tells us to do something, whether it's foolish, whether it doesn't make sense, whether, "Well, I've never heard that. We've always done it this way." Whatever he does, whatever he says, whatever he commands, and in like manner, with the right attitude, the way to conduct it, it is important. And when we were studying that in Wednesday night Bible class a few weeks ago, it just literally, as soon as I got home, I was doing more study on it. And it came out of that. And join us Wednesday. We meet back there. If we run out of room in the classroom, we can come in here. But We're coming up for a new year. You're making resolutions. Make a resolution to start coming to Wednesday night Bible study. And so I don't think you'd be disappointed. So if you need to respond to the invitation, if you've got sin in your life, God doesn't want you to have sin in your life. He wants you to repent. You need to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Oh, I don't need to repent, even though Jesus said to. Don't have that attitude. This is a perfect time to repent. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you've not been covered by the Lord's blood and forgiven of your sins through baptism, there's no better time than now. If you're visiting and if you would like to identify with worshiping God with us here at South Valley, we encourage that. Every week, rain or shine, holidays or no, we're here every Sunday, Lord's Day, to worship God. If you have prayers that you need, if you need prayers from the congregation, our members will be glad to pray for you. There's many of you that are in here right now that have been the recipients of the prayers of this group of Christians. And I'm seeing heads nod, and we would love to pray for you if you need prayers. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known, and Daryl will lead us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.